please, and let's find together Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture this morning in which God is reminding His people through His servant Moses of some things they should remember. And so the message today is a very simple one, a straightforward, things that we should remember. Though this was given to the Israelites, God's people of many centuries ago, there are many lessons and many applications yet for us today. We're going to read the whole chapter, and then we're going to draw from this chapter six things that we should not forget. Or to put it another way, six things that we should, in fact, remember. I want you to notice as we read through this eighth chapter of Deuteronomy, the references to the word remember or the phrase do not forget, and it's found several times. Let's begin with verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Now verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. We've read the whole chapter, Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Now will you join me in prayer, please? Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful on this Lord's Day, in this Memorial Day weekend, that we can pause to give you thanks and come together to worship you. We're thankful for those who join us by way of the internet, the live stream broadcast. Thank you that we're in one accord, and we're here, Lord, for the sole purpose of honoring you. Even though we honor those in uniform, past and present and yet future, all the honor belongs unto you. We are one nation under God. We know that the liberties we enjoy are God-given. And thank you for those that you have raised up through the years that we're willing to sacrifice, and some have paid the ultimate sacrifice in the way of giving their lives. Some have disabilities and injuries they'll live with the rest of their days. And others are unaccounted for, as we call them, POWs, or those who are MIA, missing in action. And Lord, our hearts go out to all of these families who are afflicted in any of these ways, through death, through injury, or through absence of loved ones. We know that families, as well as these who serve in uniform, pay a high price. And yet, Lord, on this Lord's Day, we are so much more grateful even for the sacrifice that Christ made, the ultimate sacrifice that he paid for our soul to redeem us and pay a ransom, as the scripture says, for many. He laid down his life. He shed his precious blood that we might be brought out of sin's bondage and be redeemed from death. And as we have sung, there is victory in Jesus and in him alone. And we are so grateful. Father, we pray that we will not be forgetful. We pray that you will use this message today to remind us. And in days ahead, when this message may be forgotten, bring to our minds, to our memories, the things that you have done and are doing and will yet do for us as your children. We of all people should be most grateful. And we of all people should praise you and worship you and give you the life that you have given us back in return, in service, in adoration, in love, in sacrifice. May we be, Lord, inspired by those who have served and are serving in military for our service in your army and for your cause. Thank you for that wonderful privilege, and we pray it'll all bring glory and honor to you who have saved us. Thank you now for the passage before us and for your spirit as our teacher and our guide. We give ourselves, our hearts, our all to you. Pray that you'll have our undivided attention. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On Memorial Day, we are reminded, and rightfully so, that there's some things we should not forget. Some things are too important and too valuable to forget. And yet we are prone to forget, and it seems like we're prone to forget what's really important, and we can remember things that are far less important, even trivial. Sometimes that's the way it goes. We sometimes joke about having a bad memory. Someone said that we have leaky minds. That may be a good way to put it. A little boy in church was asked one time, and he was learning his vocabulary, as we all have to do. "Son, do you know," was a question, "do you know what memory is?" And the little boy answered, "Well, I think it's that thing you forget with." Pretty cute answer, and yet it is true, it seems. You've noticed on TV, probably, you've seen at times, the commercials they have for supplements you can buy over the counter that aid in memory and retaining things and having a sharper mind. But I would dare say that the problem with many is they go to the store wanting to buy that certain kind of product, and no sooner do they get home and realize they forgot to get it while they were at the store. We do have minds that sometimes let us down. And so for good reason, there is a book of the Bible, really the whole book of Deuteronomy, not just this eighth chapter, is a book to remind the people of what they should know as they go in to the promised land. It's a strange name, isn't it? Deuteronomy, big long name. Well, if you break it down, that big long title of a book means second law. Now, it's not a second law as if the first is no longer in force. The law, of course, was God's moral law, the Ten Commandments. And this is not a second one in addition to it or in place of it, but it's a second law in the sense that God is reminding his people and Moses is restating for the people the provisions of the law, the stipulations of the law, and he is expounding upon the law and reinforcing the importance of the law because they are now, as God's people, getting ready finally to go into the promised land. It's been a long 40 years. They have come out of Egypt some 40 years earlier, out of the bondage of the taskmasters and all that was a part of Egypt. It was a hard way of life. For hundreds of years, they lived as slaves. And God, by his mighty hand, and through the plagues, you'll remember, brought them out, brought them through the Red Sea as on dry land. And they could have gone straight into the promised land, but they didn't because they did not take God at his word. They did not claim God's power and God's promise to take them in. They doubted God. And so because of that, he said, you must waste away for 40 years. And that's what they did. 40 years of wandering aimlessly in the wilderness. But God did not forsake his people. He provided for his people. And now on the verge of going into the promised land, Moses, their faithful leader, is reminding them. And therefore the language, remember, remember, remember. Don't forget, lest you forget. And we find that language, especially in chapter 8, several times. So what are the things that we as God's people, just like they as God's people, should remember? There are six things I want to share with you. And the first one is found in verse 1. We'll comb right through the chapter and we'll find all six of these. The first one is to remember to obey God's commands. All the commandments, it says in verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Not most, not some, not just the important ones, but all the commandments are to be observed that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Moses had a very simple message, really, not just in verse 1, but all the way through. And it was, obey the Lord and don't forget what he has said. What had God said? God had commanded them. And perhaps we need to be reminded that God does not give suggestions. God does not merely give good advice. God does not say, now I've got several options here and I'm letting you make the choice. You can do this or do something else. That's not the way God ever operated. Even from day one with Adam and Eve and the human race. Remember, God laid down an ultimatum, didn't he? He said, all these trees are good for food and they're yours to enjoy, but one is off limits. God put that down as a strict command. And God certainly has the right to do that. He gives commands and God gives instructions. And so Moses reminds them it is their part, their obligation, to follow those commands, observe them, and obey them. Now, let's turn back to chapter 7 and let me show you just three verses. And I'm going to show you an interesting connection and a very important connection in the commandments and the attitude toward these commandments we should have as God's people then should have had. Deuteronomy 7, I'm reading at verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Now I want you to notice the connection between those who love Him and keep His commandments. That's the same group of people, isn't it? And so we keep His commandments because we love Him. There is this connection we see here and really all the way through the Bibles, I'm going to show you, between loving God and obeying God. Let's read on verse 10 of chapter 7. And repayeth them that hate Him to their face. Again, I would pause just to point out, as far as God's concerned, there are only two groups of people, then and now, those who love God and those who hate God. Now, those that are not in love with God and those that don't serve God and obey God, they would probably beg to differ and say, well, I don't hate God. But we don't have the privilege of defining which category we're in. Note that. God says there are those who love Me and obey Me, and then there are those that hate Me. And He says, He repayeth them that hate Him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth Him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. And so a clear emphasis on obedience based in love, rooted in love. You remember Jesus said very clear, very plain, and very simply in John 14, verse 15, if you love Me, keep My commandments. That's in the Gospel of John. And then the Apostle John, in his first epistle, again comes back to this. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, he writes, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. And the word grievous means burdensome. God tells us what to do, and it's not like we should come at those and say, oh no, I have to obey. I have to do what God says. I have no choice. That's not the attitude, of course. The attitude is, I love God, and I want to honor my God, and I want to have a heart that is pleasing to God. And so I come to this commandment not as something that's heavy, but something that is a delight because He says to do it, and this is what brings Him honor. There's a good old song in our songbook, and you'll remember this one. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Remember that one? While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So we need to remember, don't we, that we obey His commandments. Obey His commandments. Now there's some that would say, well, that's Old Testament and that's law, and here we are as New Testament Christians and we're under God's grace. And I just want to say this before we move on. If you will use the grace of God to get out from under your responsibility to keep His law, that's a disgrace to God's grace. God's law is not liberty that frees you from doing His will and obeying His commands. God's grace frees us from sin, but it doesn't free us from the responsibility to do what God tells us to do. Somebody may ask you sometime, are we still under the Ten Commandments? And the answer, of course, we shouldn't stammer, we shouldn't stutter, we shouldn't bat an eye. Of course we are. The Ten Commandments are still in force. They say, people will say, that's legalism. No, it's only legalism when you attempt to keep the Ten Commandments to get into heaven. If you think you can keep those commandments and earn eternal life, that's legalism. That's trying to earn salvation through legal obedience. And of course, that never works, never has, never will. But we are responsible for honoring God's law and keeping God's law, and I pray we'll understand that and want to do that. So remember to obey God's commands. Second thing we find here is remember to appreciate God's goodness. Appreciate God's goodness. You see the word remember there in verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Moses now wants them to recall how God had guided them, how God had led them, and not only led them, but provided for them. He humbled them. He proved them or tested them to know what was in their heart. All the while that was for their good. We'll come to that in a moment. He humbled them, it says in verse 3, and he suffered them to hunger and fed them with manna, it tells us in verse 3, which they did not know. That is, it was something new. They'd never experienced any light bread like that. It was something that God provided for that time and for that purpose. And think of that. Fresh bread in the wilderness where there were no stores, no grocery stores, no any kind of stores, no provision. And day after day, God supplied their bread, their food, in the form of light bread that came down like a frost on the ground. And they went out and gathered enough for every day. And then remember, on the sixth day, there was enough for that day. And the next day, God was so very faithful. And the word manna, I will remind you, came from the Israelites who saw it that first day. And they called out in the Hebrew language, manna, which means, what is it? That was the name given. It was something so new and so wonderful. And yet, as they went along, they kind of grew weary of it and said, our soul detests this light bread. You remember that, the murmuring that went on. But you couldn't fault God. He took care of them in every way. What goodness God displayed. Look at verse 4. Their clothing didn't wear out. That's what it says. And the King James says, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee. Can you imagine some of the conversations in families? A husband and a wife, for example, have a conversation, and after 40 years, it wouldn't be at all out of the way for a wife to say to her husband, I've had this same garment I've been wearing for 40 years. I think I'm about ready for something new. I think I might just make me something new to wear. And then her husband might look and say, well, honey, I don't know why that's ever crossed your mind, because that looks as good as the day you first put it on. It didn't wear out. Amazing, isn't it? Their shoes didn't wear out. Even their feet, it tells us in verse 4, did not swell. And that's amazing in itself. You think about it. They're picking them up and putting them down every day, walking and walking and camping and dusty and rocky, and yet no swelling of the feet. So God is taking care of every need. And he spoke that manna into existence, and therefore every word of God was what provided for their daily sustenance. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You may remember Jesus quoted this very scripture when he was in the wilderness and Satan tempted him. And if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus hearkened back to this very scripture and said, no, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So he took care of their basic needs, maybe not their wants, but their needs. And so they were to be reminded to be grateful for God's goodness. And we too need that reminder to be grateful. There is a lot in the Bible about contentment. Contentment is a good thing. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. We brought nothing into this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, that is food and clothing, Let us be therewith content. There's a third thing that we need to be reminded of, as they did, and that is to remember God's discipline and respect that discipline. Look at verse 5 and 6. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. The word chastening, oftentimes we think of in terms of punishment. That is, something done wrong and then God chastens us or punishes us or corrects us. But that's not the intended meaning here. It's not that they were doing wrong and had to be corrected. It was more that God was showing them discipline. He was instilling discipline. He was refining them. He was bringing them through a wilderness, but all the while teaching them principles, humbling them, as we saw earlier, proving them. Discipline is the idea. And just like the refining process for metal, it was through that harsh world of the wilderness wanderings and the things that they had to do without and how they had to depend upon God. God was working on their character. It was a character development time. And the same is true for us, as again the song brings out so well, when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. This was a refining time for Israel. And they should consider that God was doing it for their benefit, as he is with us. We may wonder about trials, and that would be one of the things that God intended to do and will still do in this COVID-19 period of time. He's refining us. He's whittling things away from our life. He's showing us what's important and what's unimportant. He's bringing character to the front and bringing us more and more pure in our decisions and in our character development. That's what God is always interested in, and we should remember that, especially in times like these. Then there's a fourth thing that I want you to see, and we find that in verses 7 through 10, and that was to remember to trust God's promises. Oh, how we need to trust God's promises. Let's read these verses one more time. They're shorter than some of these others. Verse 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. They are not there yet, but he's going to bring them in short order to this promised land, as it's called, a land of brooks of waters, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And the point here is, God has promised it. You're on the verge of going in. And remember, when you get in there and you have all this abundance, all this plenty, remember to praise God for it, because he's the one that has fulfilled his promises. Back in chapter 7, where we read just a moment ago in verse 9, he is called the faithful God. And God is always faithful. Faithful to his word. Faithful to his promises. There's a verse, we'll not turn to it, but I'll share it with you now. When God's people, in fact, established themselves in the land, they had enemies in that land, you recall. There were Canaanites, there were Hittites, Perizzites, all those ite people. And they had to be rooted out before they could be fully established in the land and enjoy the land as God intended. And that took some few years to do, but God helped them to do just that. And there was another leader, not Moses, but Joshua, that was their leader going into Canaan, because Moses was not allowed to go in. Can you imagine filling the shoes of Moses or trying to? What an assignment that was. But God helped Joshua and he did just that. And they established themselves in the land. And then the time came for Joshua to pass on. And here's what Joshua said on the verge of his passing, reminding them of how God was faithful in fulfilling his promises. It's Joshua 23 and verse 14. And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you. And not one thing hath failed thereof. You know, the same thing could be said of us as was said of the Israelites. Not one thing that God has spoken to you and me as his children has he ever failed to deliver. He either has fulfilled his promise or yet will fulfill his promise because he is the faithful God. And how we need to remember to trust God, to trust his promises. We sing it, but do we remember to do that? Stand on the promises of God, our Savior. Are we standing on the promises of God? There's another reminder, a fifth one, and that is we need to remember to acknowledge God's blessings. When the blessings come, not only do we praise him for keeping his promises, but we're supposed to remember the blesser and not just take the blessing. So often we want the blessings and we, as we enjoy life's benefits, we can sometimes forget the one who gave us these blessings. And so beginning in verse 11 down through verse 17, you'll see several times God says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. That's verse 11, verse 14. Then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God. That's right after God is saying your herds and your flocks are going to be multiplied and silver and gold be multiplied and all that you have is going to be multiplied and you're going to have an abundance. You know what God knew? What we all have experienced. When times are hard, in times of adversity, like for them in the wilderness, they had to depend on God, didn't they? It was hand-to-mouth existence from God's hand to their mouth. Daily, that manna and the water out of the rock. That was the only water they had. That was the only bread they had. That was the only clothes they had, the only shoes they had, the only health they had, and God took care of them. And they knew and felt their utter dependence on God. But the danger would be when they got into that land of plenty, and they had a superabundance of everything. And it was not days of adversity any longer. It was days of prosperity. That would be the test. Would they still remember God? Or would they forget God? And so the reminder we know all too well that we need to be humble. That we not forget the one who gives us all that we have. To forget God is, in this sense, not to forget that he exists, but forget him as the source of all that we have. It's to forget him in the sense that we no longer sense the need of him like we did when we didn't have anything unless he provided it. You know, when you have a lot, it doesn't mean that you ought to depend on what you have. You still depend on the one who gives it and recognize him as the source of all things. All blessings come from him. And then there is another thing we need to remember, and that is we need to remember God's warnings. Let's come to the last two verses of this chapter and we'll wrap this message up. One on remembrance. Look at verse 19. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall you perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Remember to heed God's warnings. God not only gives us some precious promises, God gives us some very stern warnings. Sometimes we forget the promises, and sometimes we forget the warnings. And so Moses, as God would have him to do, lays out ahead of time this stern warning. When you get over into this land and you forget me, God says, through Moses, then watch out. Because just as surely as I punished the nations who were living there before you, I will punish you. And we know from reading our Old Testament, this is exactly what happened. We read in the book of Judges, time after time after time, God would send oppressive peoples against them and would harm them and put them under bondage. Then they cry out and say, oh God, we're sorry, we repent. And then God would have mercy. And then it'll be a little while, and then again they would turn against God and forget God. And not only would they do that, but as the Bible predicted they might, they would serve other gods. You remember, even in Solomon's reign, to make his wives happy, he began to set up other gods as well as the one true God. And there was worship of other gods many, many times in the Old Testament. But God took it very seriously, and he punished them as he promised he would. He certainly brought punishment their way. Joshua, just like Moses, reminded them of the same thing. Listen to Joshua's stern warning again. Right after he said, not one thing has failed, here's what he said, Joshua 23:15. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given you. Now, does it not stand to reason, if God judged his people Israel, which he did, and we have the record of it, because of their forgetting him, if God judged his own people, his special people, his chosen people, Israel, will he not also judge America? We know the answer to that question, don't we? Of course he will. And I believe to some extent he has. So we dare not, we must not, forget the warnings that God has given. And this has application not just to our nation. It would be easy for me to stand up here and preach, this is wrong with America, or this is wrong. And we know some things are wrong with our land. And we say we're one nation under God, but sometimes we don't act like that. But let's make a personal application. What about us? What about our church? Have we forgotten God? Have we forgotten to remember God in this way, in all of these ways that we've mentioned? It's likely that in some regard we have. And what can we do then? There's only one option, according to the Scripture, and that is very clear throughout Scripture, and that is to repent and to humble ourselves and to come back to God, and to ask him to restore us, and to forgive us, and to cleanse us. And once we repent, and we confess, and we agree, God, we've strayed as a family, or as an individual, or as a church, or as a nation. And when we come back in that frame of mind, and with that kind of humility, God will, in fact, restore us, and he will cleanse us, and he will forgive us. But if we don't remember, and we keep on going our way, then there's dire circumstances. It's been well said that those who don't remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you and praise you for this portion of your word. It's so clear. And on this Memorial Day when we're remembering so many blessings, remembering our nation and how we are so blessed as a people with freedoms like no other people on the face of the earth, with bounty like few people have ever experienced on the face of the earth. From sea to shining sea, as one of our great songs says, we have crops, and we have good things, and we have bounty of blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And surely you have shed your grace upon us. How dare we forget? Lord, we should remember, and yet we don't. I pray this message will be a wake-up call and a reminder to us that we remember you, the source of all good things, of all blessings, the source of our salvation, the source of things past and present and future. Our glorious future awaits us, and help us never to forget those promises. And may we live in the light of all you've done and will do. Lord, we pray today for restoration wherever it's needed. Maybe in our own life, maybe in our family, could be in our church where we have taken things for granted. It could be in our nation that we need to turn back to you in many, many ways. So apply the lessons of this passage wherever it needs to be applied today, and we'll praise you for that. We call upon you for your grace and your mercy. We know that's the only hope that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark, come and lead.